Now, I want to turn your attention to the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 13. Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom do ye say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Now, if Jesus turned to his disciples and asked them, "Whom do men say that I am? Who do you think I am?" In verse 15, he said, "But whom do ye say that I am?" Now, if Jesus asked his disciples that question, he's asking you the same question. Who do you think Jesus is? Who do you think Jesus is? Now, if your answer is that he's the second person of a divine holy trinity, friend, let me tell you something. The Bible never calls him that. That phrase never came from the Bible. You need to realize where that phrase came from. 300 years after Jesus lived on this earth as a man, the church at that point was in a backslidden state. Anybody and everybody could be part of the church. And there were a lot of men that came out of idolatry that were now part of the church 300 years after Jesus. And they had a council, and they were debating about really who Jesus was. And these men that had a history of paganism and idolatry were now voicing their opinion about who Jesus was. And their answers were based upon head knowledge, not Bible knowledge. Their answers were man's opinions, not the scripture. And so no wonder they came up with a goofy answer like that, the second person of a divine holy trinity. But the Bible doesn't ever call him that. You'll never find the word trinity or anything like that in the Bible. You'll never find Jesus referred to as a second person. Amen. Amen. He was always referred to as, Isaiah called him the mighty God. Isaiah 9:6, the everlasting Father. That's what Isaiah called him in prophecy. Amen. The angel announced Jesus' birth and said he would be Emmanuel, which interpreted is God with us. Amen. And so you've got to realize, you got to open your eyes to some of the stuff you studied when you were a kid in school. They taught you about the stupid Greek mythology. All those myths that originated in Greece. Now stop and think about it. That was the very same area the Apostle Paul preached and started a lot of churches in Greece, in Macedonia, and right across the sea there in Turkey that we call today. And it was in that area that a lot of that Greek mythology got started. And don't forget, Alexander the Great had conquered that part of the world, and they said that he conquered not only militarily, but intellectually. That's the reason so much, the Bible was, the New Testament was written in Greek, is because he conquered them mentally all over that area. And so their thinking was colored and influenced by that old Greek mythology. And those guys that were making up the leadership of the established church back 300 years after Jesus, they were mixing up the true gospel with that old mythology from Greece. And we could spend weeks and talk about all the old silly myths that came out of Greece. And you studied it in school, probably. You covered it, at least. But you see, Jesus made a point there. He said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." When Peter answered, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God," that was a revelation from God. And the Lord Jesus made it very plain that understanding of who Jesus is was something that God reveals to you. God reveals this to you. And I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning, and I think probably the majority of you, I'm preaching to the choir, as the old saying goes, probably the majority of you believe in one God. But there may be somebody here. There's a reason God impressed upon my heart this message. And somebody here is going to be needing this. In Deuteronomy 29:29, we read, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." That's a very plain message that tells us God reveals things to His children. And you're not going to find the people of this world with a deep understanding of who God is. They're not going to have a deep understanding of spiritual things. It's something that has to be spiritually revealed unto a person. And thank God for a pure, genuine heart that seeks God in sincerity. Because only with a sincere heart will God reveal His full truths. He'll open a person's eyes to the Scriptures, and they will understand it. Jesus said, "All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him." Excuse me. So you see Jesus saying very plainly, the Father has to reveal this truth to a person. And when the Lord does open the person's eyes to who Jesus is, it's a beautiful revelation. It's a beautiful revelation. I remember when I was pastoring years ago, we had this little lady. Her husband was a minister in another denomination, and she believed in the Trinity. But all of a sudden, with some proper teaching, this little old lady, that she was elderly, she got a beautiful revelation. And I remember her shouting and dancing all up and down the aisle in the church when she got her eyes open to who Jesus really was, and she wanted to be baptized in Jesus' name. I'll never forget what a joy it was. But it took the Lord to open her eyes. Hallelujah. Jesus, did everything that God would be expected to do. He did everything. He calmed the storms. Man can't do that. He raised the dead. Man can't do that. Brother Wiggins is a good heart surgeon. I guarantee you, he'll tell you very plainly, he can't raise the dead. Once they're dead, he can't help anymore. But our Lord Jesus raised the dead. Praise the Lord. That's something only God can do. Amen. He told people what were in their thoughts. Amen. He told things that were going to happen in the future. These are things only God can do. He showed to the people that He was God in every respect. And that was, of course, one of the things they had a hard time dealing with. Now, there's a scripture that I'm going to I'm going to show you that you never hear preachers point out. Let's go to John, the 12th chapter, verse 37. John 12, 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Esaias, or Isaiah, in other words, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake. Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? There John quotes Isaiah 53, verse 1. Therefore they could not believe, because that Esaias, or Isaiah, said again. And here John quotes Isaiah chapter 6, verse 10. He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Esaias, or Isaiah, when he saw his glory and spake of him. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Now, the scripture only records one time where Isaiah talked about seeing the glory of God. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Isaiah 6, 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain, or two, he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now, Isaiah clearly says that he saw the Lord. The Lord. He used the word Elohim, which is properly interpreted here as Lord, and it's a word referring to the Jehovah God of the Old Testament. So, and some translations actually use the word Jehovah. Isaiah saw the Jehovah God sitting high up on a throne. Now, am I getting to your mind here with this? Isaiah said, I saw the Jehovah God, the Lord. And then back over there in John, where we read, John said, These things said Isaiah, or Esaias, when he saw his glory and spake of him. John is saying that Isaiah saw Jesus. Isaiah said he saw the Jehovah God. Is there two different gods there? Oh, no. They saw exactly the same thing. The Jehovah God, and Isaiah was seeing Jesus, who is God. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Do you really know who Jesus is? Is your thinking about him colored and influenced by man's description of Jesus? Or do you recognize him as the mighty God in Christ? He wasn't just another spirit, another God. He was the one and only God. Praise God. And that's the very reason They wanted to kill him because he said, they said, because you, being a man, make yourself God. And they grabbed stones. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to stone him. Well, he was God. And their minds were so controlled by their carnal thinking. And that's why I'm saying you've got to have the Lord open your understanding to who Jesus is. Isaiah saw Jehovah God sitting on the throne. And John says that Isaiah saw Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful I know who Jesus is. Do you really know who Jesus is? Do you really know that he was the mighty God revealed in human flesh? Praise the Lord. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Aren't you? Hallelujah. Praise God. And of course, when you look at the name Jesus, it actually means Jehovah, salvation. Jehovah is salvation. That's actually the meaning of the name Jesus. And there were other guys, at least three or four other guys in the Old Testament that had that name, but they just had the name. But Jesus was that name. Brother Todd and I, we have a friend out in California. His name is King. But he ain't no king. He's just a man. But there are people that are kings. But Jesus not only had the name Jehovah Salvation, which is exactly the same name in the Old Testament as Joshua, Yeshua, but Jesus was salvation. Jesus was Jehovah bringing salvation. That's the difference between him and Joshua and a couple of other guys in the Old Testament. Jesus was Jehovah bringing salvation. And I'm glad he is our Savior. You make a study of the oneness of God and really prayerfully ask God to help you understand it. Well, I'm telling you, that's such a wonderful thing to have a beautiful revelation of Jesus Christ. I remember so vividly. See, I was raised in this, and I had wonderful parents. Just good. But I'll never forget sitting in my bed as a teenager, studying my Bible, and I began to realize a lot of this world, religious world, does not believe the oneness of God. And I realized that just because I had good parents, that wasn't necessarily going to be a proof that they were correct in their teaching. And I said, God, I don't care what it takes. I want to know what your word says. And I think I've mentioned this before, but I collected every bit of information I could about the Trinity, every bit of information I could about the oneness of God. And I started studying the Trinity. I started studying the oneness. And friend, God turned a light on in my soul when I started studying the Word of God with a sincere heart. I was determined that I was going to accept only the truth, regardless if it hurt my parents, if I would have to leave this. I was going to accept only the truth. And when I began to realize this is the truth, Jesus is the mighty God. There is no other God. He is the one and only God. Amen. I'm so thankful for that revelation. When God really gave me that light, it was like an anchor to my soul. I cannot explain what it did to me, but to know the truth from the Word of God and not be influenced by man's teachings. Oh, how precious that was. And this is something only God can really do. Head knowledge is good, but it takes a revelation to really understand who Jesus is. Praise God. So Jesus is our salvation. He is Jehovah's salvation. And that was the thing that drove the Israelites crazy. They could not stand the fact that this man standing before them was claiming to be God. And they were determined to kill him. But yet, he proved in every way. What could God do that Jesus didn't do? He created the food for one time 5,000 people, 5,000 men, besides women and children. Another time he created food for 4,000 men, besides women and children. What more could God do? What would God do that Jesus did do? He created, he healed, he calmed the weather, he controlled the animals. Amen. What more does God do that Jesus didn't do? He proved that he was God. Amen. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation." Ask anybody, who is the Savior? Oh, they'll say Jesus. Even the Trinitarians will say, Jesus. This says Jehovah is our salvation. Amen. Well, they're both. Jesus is our salvation and Jehovah is our salvation because Jesus is Jehovah. That spirit that was within him was Jehovah God. And like I say, that's what drove the Jews crazy. They couldn't deal with that. But nevertheless, he proved that he was. Amen. He proved that he was the Jehovah God. Amen. Well, what does Malachi say? Chapter 3, verse 1. Malachi wrote about 400 years before Jesus. He was the last writer of the Old Testament. He says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap." A fuller was a laundry guy that washed clothes and would bleach them nice and white. "And he shall set as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." Now, the Lord did suddenly come to his temple. The Bible prophesied that he would come lowly, riding upon a donkey. And Jesus did just exactly that. He came into the city of Jerusalem, and suddenly, and they had a hard time dealing with it because Jesus went into the temple when he came there and he took a whip, started driving out the merchants and the money changers. Amen. He said, "Get these things out of here. My house, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves." He took the tables of the money changers, flipped them over, and I can just imagine the coins rolling in 100 different directions, and the greedy, money-hungry money changers scrambling after their money. And Jesus set the animals free, and they were running around, and all of this was going on out in that courtyard outside that was called the Court of the Gentiles. Jesus claimed that as his house too, the Court of the Gentiles. Because he knew he was going to be reaching out and touching Gentiles with this lovely message. So he wanted them to know that they were going to be part of the church. Amen. And so he was doing this. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Yes, he even used that whip. I'd like to have seen a video of him using that whip on some of the money changers. And they were nothing but thieves. They were thieves. I could go on and on talking about how they cheated the people in the exchange rate. And you had to buy a temple sacrifice. You couldn't use your own sacrifice, regardless of how good it was. You had to buy one of the temple sacrifices that had been approved by the priest. And boy, it was expensive too. And you couldn't just use your own Roman money, because that was profane and defiled money. You had to exchange that Roman money for temple money to buy the approved temple sacrifice. Oh, it was a scam. No wonder Jesus said, "You've made it a den of thieves." They couldn't abide the day of his coming. They couldn't handle it. He was too pure for him. Well, he's going to sit yet in judgment. He's yet going to sit in judgment. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so glad that I know who Jesus is. Aren't you? Aren't you glad you know who Jesus is? Praise the Lord. He's the Alpha and Omega. I didn't pick those songs just for entertainment. I picked them to go with this message. Do you really know who Jesus is? The man from Galilee. He made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. Some say he was a good man who walked this earthly sod, but is Jesus my Lord and my God? He's the Alpha and Omega. Those are words that mean the first letter of the Greek alphabet and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, in other words. He's the beginning and the end. He's the great I am, the truth, the way. God's fullness dwells in him. He's the wonderful counselor. The mighty God is he. Yes, he's Jesus, my Lord and my God. In John, the 8th chapter, 24th verse, Jesus said, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father." When Jesus said, "I am he," I want you to notice your Bible. That word "he" is in italics. What does that mean? That means it was added by the translators for a better understanding of that scripture. So if you would read that verse 24, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins." Jesus was, if you'll actually look at the original language, Jesus was saying, "I am the great I am of the Old Testament." So Jesus said, if you don't believe that he's the Jehovah God, you're going to die in your sins. I think Brother McCoy would be more than happy to baptize you today if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. You don't want to die in your sins. You don't want to die in your sins. You want to get baptized in Jesus' name. He's Jehovah salvation. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you know the truth? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I know who Jesus is. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I know he's the mighty God revealed in human flesh. He's my Savior, my Redeemer, the mighty God. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and lift our voices and worship to the Lord as we take this break. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the Lord showing me that beautiful truth in his word. Hallelujah. He didn't leave us in darkness. He revealed the truth to us. Hallelujah. We've got a lot to be thankful for. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your great name. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We give you glory and honor that you alone are worthy of, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I magnify your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Do you really know who Jesus is? Honor him as the mighty God revealed in human flesh. Hallelujah. He's our Savior, our Redeemer, Jehovah's salvation. Oh, glory to his name. Praise his holy name. He's worthy, worthy of all of our praise. Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. We'll take a little break here and be back in 15 minutes for service.